Good evening, and welcome to Donnell Edwards Viewpoints, and I'm your host, Donnell Edwards. We also welcome all of our listeners in the United States and around the world. Thank you for joining us for tonight's program, Meeting the Challenges of Controlling Anger. Our special guest tonight is author and anger management expert, Dr. Bernard Golden. Both through his work as an experienced clinical psychologist and through his book, Overcoming Destructive Anger, Strategies That Work, Dr. Golden offers a unique approach to anger management that views anger as stemming from a desire for compassion. He has been an anger management specialist for over 40 years and has taught master's and doctoral students in psychology. Dr. Golden has written 3 books. In addition to Overcoming Destructive Anger, Strategies That Work, Dr. Golden has also written Unlock Your Creative Genius and Healthy Anger, How to Help Children and Teens Manage Their Anger. Please join me in welcoming to the CWR Talk Network and Donnell Edwards Viewpoints, Dr. Bernard Golden. Dr. Golden, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Golden, let's talk first about your book, Overcoming Destructive Anger, Strategies That Work. What is different about your book from every other book that's been written about anger management?
It's a unique combination of 3 major parts, actually. I offer an anger log that is somewhat a little more comprehensive than other books. The log is meant to help a reader review an incident where they had a triggering event, helping them understand the feelings behind their anger, the expectations they may have had before the event even occurred about how people should behave, how the world should treat them, and finally the desire behind the anger. There's a unique anger log. I also talk about mindfulness and mindfulness meditation, how we can watch where our mind is taking us and develop a skill to just observe rather than react. And so much of anger is just to create that pause where we can have a feeling or a thought and think through what we want to do and respond rather than react to it. And the third part that makes it unique is compassion-focused skills that are based on actually brain research and the use of compassion. When we engage in certain visual imagery, we can calm our body. Our physiology can become calm by thinking mindful and compassionate thoughts.
Okay. Now we're going to talk some more about the mindful part a little later on in the program. That was one of the things that I saw when I was going over your information that was interesting to me. But I heard you mention triggers. I think I know what that is, but for those in the listening audience who may not know, could you please explain triggers and why those are important?
Right. It's helpful to identify a specific trigger, and I say that's something you can that if someone else is watching, it's a behavior. So someone said this or this happened, and it's the major kind of like the last straw incident that brought on the anger reaction.
Okay. All right. Now, you mentioned also, not in your comments, but in the material that I read, you talk about destructive anger. Could you tell us what that is?
Sure. Destructive could be for the person who's angry as well as the target of his or her anger. But for the person who's angry, ongoing problems with anger can derail a career, lead one to lose a job, lead to a loss of relationships. In terms of health, anger has research shows that ongoing issues with anger contribute to cardiac problems, high blood pressure, and recently I've seen even lower back pain regarding anger. I've seen some studies in terms of anger where accidents that show up at the ER, the emergency room, there was a good percentage. I've seen studies between 15% and 25% saying that they were related to having anger at the time the person had the accident.
Okay.
So in terms of destruction for other people, Clearly, if you're aggressive to people or property, it's destructive in that way.
So in a lot of senses, destructive anger is actually what it states. It's destructive to the person that's angry, as well as those that may be around them. So I'd like to share the following statistics with our listening audience. I'm sure that you're already familiar with this, Dr. Golden, but these statistics validate the fact that anger has reached epidemic proportions in our society today. According to a study conducted by researchers from Harvard, Columbia, and Duke University, published in 2015, almost 9% of American adults, or about 22 million people, have a history of impulsive, angry behavior and have easy access to at least one gun. Furthermore, about 1.5% of people, about 3.7 million, have impulsive anger issues and carry guns around with them when they are outside their homes. And very few of them are subject to current mental health-based gun ownership restrictions. So, Dr. Golden, would you explain for our listeners just what impulsive anger behavior is?
Sure. A major part of impulsive anger behavior is it's an overreaction, and not just a slight, but a huge overreaction of anger to not warranted by the incident. For example, if someone cuts you off on the road, who likes that to happen? You know, if it scares you for a while, your body gets upset, maybe agitated. But the impulsive anger might be the person who chases them down the road to get after them, either to scold them, yell at them, be physically assaultive, or if they're carrying a gun. That quickness to anger, the kind of situation where a person goes, they say, from 0 to 60. A person's a hothead. That kind of an example of impulsive anger. There's a category in the mental health manual that therapists use called intermittent explosive disorder. This is the extreme of impulsive anger, where it is extremely exaggerated, and for that category, they say it happens 2 times a week for 3 months before you can get that so-called diagnosis. But that's the most extreme of impulsive disorder.
Okay. So according to the manual that is accepted by most practitioners, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, this severe anger, this impulsive anger behavior, meets the criteria to be classified as a mental disorder?
It's not considered a mental disorder. It's called behavioral disorder.
Okay.
They're focusing at this point just on the behavior. And, so not yet. It's not yet classified as a mental disorder.
Okay. But someone who would have that kind of behavior, would you say that a person like that would be, it might be dangerous for them to have easy access to weapons or to carry weapons around with them?
Definitely. In fact, one of the big questions is how come specifically men who are involved with domestic abuse are allowed to carry guns? The statistics are very high that they will use them. And so, yes, definitely.
Okay. Now, what are some warning signs that someone should look for to determine if their anger is dangerous, or the signs the rest of us should look for in others that may indicate that they have a serious anger problem and should seek help?
For one, if a person's anger does go from 0 to 60, meaning, again, very quickly to either become verbally or physically aggressive, people are calling you a hothead, then listen to that if enough people are calling you that. Having mild, even to moderate, anger daily, quick to become aggressive. And one of the issues also of having an anger problem is difficulty letting go of anger. People will talk about either a job that they lost or an ex or something that happened many years ago with their parents. And difficulty in letting go of anger is an issue with anger management. It becomes disruptive in a person's life.
Okay. Now, if you just joined us, this is Donnell Edwards Viewpoints, and our topic tonight is meeting the challenges of controlling anger. And our special guest is author and anger management expert, Dr. Bernard Golden. We would like to hear your viewpoint, so call us now with your comment or your question for Dr. Golden at 563-999-3660. When you call, please remain on the line, and we'll get to your call as soon as possible. That number again is 563-999-3660. Right now, we're going to take a brief break, and when we return, we'll discuss what Dr. Golden means by healthy anger. So please stay tuned.
This is the CWR Network, hashtag 1 million strong.
Online, you can be a witness and make a difference by letting the world know it isn't cool and by letting your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's Thursday night and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14, 41,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted.
I realized
he forgot his homework.
I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
This is the CWR Network, hashtag 1 million strong.
Welcome back. If you just joined us, this is Donnell Edwards Viewpoints. If you didn't know, we are now on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Now you can enjoy Donnell Edwards Viewpoints and all of your other favorite CWR Talk Network programs wherever you are with iTunes. Just go to our website, CWRTalkNetwork.com, and click on the iTunes logo and subscribe to the CWR Talk Network. while you're there, give us your rating and write a review. Now, there's no reason for you to ever miss our programs. Subscribe today and enjoy the convenience of listening without being shackled to your computer. It's as easy as going to our website at CWRTalkNetwork.com, clicking on the iTunes logo, and subscribing. We know you're going to love it. Now, let's get back to our program. And our special guest tonight is author and anger management expert, Dr. Bernard Golden. Dr. Golden, you suggest that anger may be a cry for compassion. Under what circumstances may anger be a cry for compassion?
My view is that all of anger is very much a cry for compassion. Excuse me. And what I mean by that is that every minute we're angry, it's a temporary distraction from feeling some kind of inner suffering. So anger has two parts. It has a feeling of threat. Somehow I'm feeling threatened, whether it's surreal or not. I'm perceiving I'm feeling threatened. It might be a threat to my body. It might be a threat to my resources, my time, my money, people I love, or the things I own. Besides the threat, there are other negative feelings: fear, anxiety, shame, rejection, powerlessness. And so my view is that a triggering event happens, we feel these negative feelings, or I should say the tension in our body about them and the threat. And the anger then is a way of dealing with that pain, but we're not even aware that that's the pain we're feeling, because with anger, when it's destructive, we're focusing on the person or situation rather than those feelings behind the anger. So I do see it as a kind of a cry for help, just like an infant will cry when it's feeling the GI tract is upset, or a breeze is coming through the window, or the diaper is filled. Not quite putting into words what's going on. In the same way, I think adult anger many times is that kind of a distraction from the inner hurt.
Okay, now, most of us, before listening to you talk, or perhaps those who have read your book, when we have someone that's close to us, maybe a family member or friend, or maybe even someone that we work with, and they have an anger outburst, or they're prone to have these anger tendencies or tantrums, how can we tell if that's really a cry for compassion? And if it is, how can we respond so that we may help them?
Right. I think it's helpful to think of responses to people in our personal lives versus the work setting, and the responses might be a little different, some similarity, but somewhat different. So in a personal relationship, you might want to start by saying, I could tell you're angry, just validating their anger. And then, I can't read your mind, but maybe you're feeling hurt. Maybe you're feeling ignored, criticized. Could we talk about that instead? So you're validating it, they feel heard, and you're emphasizing that there's something behind it. You might want to say, you know, when you do that, I'm feeling scared. In the workplace, you may want to focus more on the impact it has on productivity. When you do that, I'm distracted. I can't concentrate. It's disruptive. It takes me away from focusing. And then ask the person to do what you would prefer them to do. In a way, both settings, you're talking about how you're impacted.
Okay. So it's really okay to talk to someone along those lines. Let them know that what they're doing is having an effect on us.
Right. And rather than telling them what they need to be doing or what they should be doing or name-calling, it's focusing on your impact.
Okay, all right. Now, Doctor, you also refer to healthy anger. Can you explain what that is?
Sure. Healthy anger is any kind of anger where you take time to pause and think through, do I want to react to these feelings? Do I need to react to? What are the benefits? So you're taking a moment to pause and think through how do you want to deal with your anger, whether you want to react at all. Another part of healthy anger is that when you experience anger, you look at that as a kind of a cue or a signal to turn your attention inward rather than outward. Meaning if I'm angry, okay, my anger is telling me, giving me information about some kind of hurt. What am I feeling? Am I feeling, for example, I said these feelings ignored. Am I feeling discounted, devalued? Am I feeling minimized or just anxious? And so using the anger as a signal to turn attention inward. Also, when you turn your attention inward, anger is always about some key desire that we feel is being threatened. It might be trust. It might be safety, security, or connection. So I give a little example of a woman comes home and finds out that her husband bought this huge 60-inch TV that he didn't speak to her about getting. And she gets angry. And one person might look at that, oh, she's angry about the money spent because she's anxious about having good finances in her home. And then she might reveal, no, I feel betrayed. He didn't tell me. So anger is always about some key desire that's being threatened. And
okay.
Healthy anger is exploring that. Healthy anger also involves assertive communication. So I mentioned when you're seeing someone who's expressing anger, share how you're impacted. Part of assertive communication is saying, I feel this when you do that. And that's part of healthy anger. And the other part is another part is being able to let it go, to let go of anger.
So would it be correct to say that healthy anger is something that can be learned kind of as a coping mechanism so that a person will think when they start feeling angry before they allow their anger to cause them to engage in actions that may be destructive?
Yes. Anger is a habit. It's a habit in our thinking, feeling, and in our body reactions. And definitely it can be learned. It takes time, just like practicing an instrument. It does take time and patience, but it is a new habit of dealing with our emotions. And constructive anger can be constructive. It can be channel us to join political movements or different ways so that those desires and those needs are being met.
Okay. Now, you also say, Dr. Golden, that mindfulness, which you mentioned earlier, can help reduce anger arousal. What do you mean by mindfulness, and how can it help prevent a person from becoming angry?
Mindfulness involves being, as far as anger goes, being aware of, I say, your inner landscape. It's being aware of your feelings, your thoughts, your body sensations. I'll give you an example. When I see some people who are some clients who go from 0 to 60 in my class, I will ask, okay, so what is going on in your body? And some people will say, oh, I felt tension in my chest or my face. Oh, I know my heart beat much faster. My breathing became shallow. Others say, I have no idea. I don't know what my body's doing when I'm angry. They're too busy focusing on the outside, and so they're not aware of what's going on inside. So mindfulness could be looking at, okay, I'm feeling hurt. I'm feeling ignored. Okay, I have physical tension. And then part of the new habit is addressing, how do I calm my body now if I'm feeling tense, rather than strike out to distract myself from that body tension? So part of mindfulness helps us develop relaxation exercises. The more we practice them, then we become more mindful to what does my body feel like when it's relaxed. But it is
okay.
An awareness, that awareness.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you for that, Doctor. Now, this is
okay.
Donnell Edwards Viewpoints, and our topic tonight is meeting the challenges of controlling anger, and our special guest is author and anger management expert, Dr. Bernard Golden. If you have a problem with anger or know someone who does, or you just want your viewpoint on this very important issue heard, give us a call right now at 563-999-3660. When you call, please remain on the line and we'll get to your call as soon as possible. That number, again, is 563-999-3660. We'll return after these important messages and discuss understanding anger and when to be concerned about anger. So stay tuned.
This is the CWR Network, hashtag 1 million strong.
One in three adults in America have prediabetes, but most don't know it. To let people know it can be reversed before it becomes type 2 diabetes, professional basketball player Julius Randle is doing everything in reverse.
I'm only dunking with reverse windmills. I drove the whole way to practice in reverse. I don't recommend it. This move is called the reverse shuffle. I do recommend it. And it took me months to learn how to speak in reverse, like this. Here's 10 almost for diabetes type 2 with living Ben has mom my. In other words, my mom has been living with type 2 diabetes for almost 10 years. So together, we want to say to the 84 million Americans at risk, exercise and healthy eating can help reverse prediabetes. Start by taking a simple one-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
People been saying to your friend, get a different face, and posting on their feed, they're super ugly. The things they say to them online are cruel and they're not true. So tell your friend, I'll stand up for you. Don't worry, I know what to do.
Know someone being bullied online? You can be a witness and make a difference by letting the world know it isn't cool and by letting your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Having trouble finding Connor. Middle school? Would you like directions?
No, why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Finding lowest airfare to Istanbul.
No, I'm tired of fighting with him over homework.
Home, walk, restaurant. Need a review?
No, I need help. He's very smart, but his mind wanders. He's disorganized.
I think I understand.
Oh, good.
Finding best potatoes for French fries.
No!
Russet, fingerling, Yukon gold.
Why don't you understand me?
Sorry, I was trying to show how Connor feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues, designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
This is the CWR Network, hashtag 1 million strong.
Welcome back. This is Donnell Edwards Viewpoints. Thanks for joining us for tonight's discussion. And we have a treat for you in store at the end of tonight's program, so please don't go away, as has become our custom. We have our musical spotlight, and tonight's musical spotlight goes right along with our discussion on anger. That's all I'm going to tell you, and it's by a superstar. So be sure you stay tuned, stay around for that after the program is over. We continue with our program now with our special guest, Dr. Bernard Golden, and we're discussing meeting the challenges of controlling anger. Now, Dr. Golden, according to a report from the Mental Health Foundation in the United Kingdom entitled boiling point, problem, anger, and what we can do. What we can do about it, it says more than 1 in 10 or 12% say that they have trouble controlling their own anger. More than 1 in 4 people, or 28%, say that they worry about how angry they sometimes feel. Fewer than 1 in 7, or 13% of those people who say they have trouble controlling their anger have sought help for their anger problems. And 58% of people wouldn't know where to seek help if they needed help with an anger problem. Although this report is from several years ago and the participants were from the United Kingdom, in your experience, are things better, worse, or about the same today? And if this survey had been conducted in the United States, do you feel that the results would have been much different?
I think they would be different in terms of, I do see increased anger in the United States at this point. Just the fact that, I don't want to get involved with the gun lobby, but just the fact that we're the only nation that has these many guns per person. But there are other factors that I think contribute to the anger in terms of, I say anger is always about a cry for help or some kind of suffering behind it. And I see a lot of people increasingly feeling pain, increasingly feeling they're not getting the equal opportunity, whether it's financial or educational or job opportunity. I see increasingly people who, if you think of a good marriage, each partner commits themselves to saying, we're in this together, we work this out. That's what a commitment is about. And I see increasingly individuals in our culture and groups are not having that same attitude that we're in it together. There are another number of reasons, too. I see politicians who are wanting to make those decisions. So we turn against each other as a distraction of dealing with that pain, but it creates just a lot of anger rather than constructive anger. I think it gets channeled increasingly constructively, so whether it's Black Lives Matter, the Me Too movement, the LGBT movement, any movement is a constructive way of channeling that anger, challenges how rigid we get with each other. When we start seeing things in black and white, we don't listen to each other. And clearly, if we are going to work together, we have to start from what do we have in common? And I've seen groups and studies where groups actually get together. I was forwarded an email by a colleague of mine. She heard about a group in Vermont. A group of people in Vermont met with a group of people from Kentucky, coal country. And the people from Kentucky actually traveled to Vermont, and they had a discussion for a day or two and really felt much closer and understanding of the different issues that they were facing in coal country. And they scheduled another trip. Those people from Vermont would now go to Kentucky. It's that kind of interaction that we need to really see through the labels, whether it's a political label or a racial label, to get to know the person in front of us and be able to look in their eyes is the way we make that kind of a connection.
So do you feel that here in America, one of the major problems that's caused the proliferation of a lot of the anger that we see today is the fact that there has been a decrease in the amount of respect that people have for each other and others' views, and people demanding on their view being the only one and the right one?
Right. All of that in reaction to feeling threatened in some way.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Now, you mentioned earlier, too, a number of things like threats, whether real or perceived, negative feelings such as shame, fear, anxiety, guilt, powerlessness, inadequacy. All of those things could cause anger. Now, in those instances, would those be contributing factors to general anger or severe anger, or both?
Both. And, for example, one person might have a level of anger on a 1 to 10 scale, 1 being mild, 3. The people who have more severe anger might be the 9 or 10. They, from the same triggering event, they may make a conclusion about the event that leads them to be more angry. They may make a judgment about that triggering event. For example, many times I'll ask clients I work with, was one of the conclusions in your mind when you think about it and pause, it's happening again? And they say, oh, yeah, that's right. When he did that, when she did that, when that happened, that's exactly one of my conclusions. And I say that once we make that conclusion, we're no longer experiencing the anger just about the current event, but anger that's left over from other events that are similar, that we haven't completely let go or dealt with. So I do see the same pattern, that a triggering event leads to some negative, some sense of threat and negative feelings surrounding it.
Okay. Now, just so that we don't become triggers to someone's anger and cause them to react violently towards us or others around them, what advice would you give if we know someone, perhaps in the workplace or maybe even in the home? You mentioned domestic violence. What do we need to keep in mind when dealing with someone like that, that we may feel like is on the borderline to having anger, severe anger issues?
I think the first thing to attend to is your own safety, to be
okay.
Alert that you may love someone, but that you may not be able to handle their anger. You may not be able to talk them down. And so be alert to your own safety, whether it's telling them, listen, I need to set limits. You can talk to me about this, but I don't need to be yelled at or screamed at. You can ask for that. Clearly, if someone's intoxicated, that changes the whole issue. Anger's about a competition between the rational mind and the emotional mind. And if someone has been drinking, if someone hasn't had sleep, if someone has a fever, that really reduces the rational mind. So for someone dealing with that, someone who's angry, be realistic in what you can expect and don't try to reason with someone at that moment. But do set limits, to emphasize how you're feeling impacted by them, and recognize that you feel they're angry. I'm wanting to help you. Was there anything that we can do together?
Okay, let me ask you this. Now, I know here where I live, there are some organizations that provide anger management. If we had more anger management in, say, communities or maybe schools or in the workplace, if that was something that kind of became maybe a requirement, do you feel like that might alleviate some of the violence that attends to the anger that some people have?
I would love to see all of that. I'll give you an example. I was an elementary school teacher in the South Bronx from 1967 to 73, and I tell people I learned a lot about dealing with my anger, and I learned about helping the kids with their anger. Excuse me. And I would I would try to help them understand anger, help them find different ways of expressing anger. I would kind of sneak it into the program because I really couldn't label a curriculum at that point of we're going to work on anger this afternoon. But I'm a firm believer in emotional education for children at an early age, and they're increasingly, I've seen studies from a great group in California, Stanford University, called The Greater Good. They are doing mindfulness with children. They're doing respect, teaching empathy to children. And so there's always a need for programs dealing with anger management. I offer classes, and sometimes people say, well, you're not you're not close enough, and I may live in the suburbs. Do you know of a place near me? There are so few organizations that offer anger management classes, and so it's not readily available. Although if you go online, you'll see sometimes there are classes. Many times there are online courses. But yes, I'm a firm believer that these are skills. And part of anger management is learning a variety of skills. As a parent, you might be angry at your child. Well, there are parenting skills you might be helped by. As a manager in the workplace, you might be angry at the people you supervise. Learning skills in management can be helpful. So in the same way, learning skills in anger are really essential.
Okay. Now, another point of concern, Dr. Golan, is those people that you refer to who just can't let their anger go but hold on to it and until it erupts. Why is it that some of us hold on to hurt and anger and can't let it go?
In a way, if I feel I've been hurt, I need to be attentive to not be hurt again. So I might become, a phrase is hypervigilant. I might be overly focusing on potential threats that are around the corner. I'm sure you've heard the expression of someone's hiking through the woods and they see a stick on the ground. Most people would say, that, well, that's a stick. Someone who might be overly sensitive to feeling threatened might immediately think it's a snake. And so we hold on to anger sometimes because we don't want to be hurt again. We're focusing on not letting go. Also, if I hold on to anger, it helps me avoid taking responsibility for my life, that regardless of what happened in the past, something I can't change, what can I do now? And I'm the only one that can take care of myself, well, with the support of other people, but we can't go back and undo what happened. Another way, reason people hold on to anger is I don't want to feel vulnerable. I also say when you hold on to anger, you avoid mourning and grieving about what was or what could have been. And to let go of anger, we have to go through mourning and grieving of expectations about what could have happened.
Okay. So in a way, it's kind of a protection to prevent being hurt again. So we're
right.
On the lookout for. Okay, all right. That's very interesting. Now, what is it that we should be concerned about in regard to our own personal anger? And if we have concerns, we have a severe anger problem, what can we do?
I started to say there are courses online that they are increasingly see them. The internet is full of descriptions of activities to engage in, strategies to deal with anger management. Many of them is like deep breathing, doing physical exercise, talking it out, writing, keeping a journal. Those can be really helpful. Recently, I've seen ads for attending an anger room. I think a person, I'm not recommending those, but it just leads a person to vent. And all of those strategies might distract the person temporarily. But if the anger is more severe, reading books about it, taking an online course, or seeing a counselor if it's more severe and might be related to deeper wounds that we've had in the past that we have not without full awareness or impacting our quickness to become angry.
Okay. Now, in conclusion, what final thoughts would you like to leave with our listeners?
I think the main thought I'd like everyone to pay attention to is that regardless of how you've managed anger in the past, you can learn new strategies that are more effective, more constructive, and lead to a more fulfilling life. Again, it takes work and effort, but they really do work, and think of it as habits that you'll be learning that can improve your life.
Okay. So anger is not something to be minimalized or trivialized. It is very real and in some ways a very present danger in some situations. So how may our listeners contact you to learn more about your work or to get your books or to hire you to speak to their company or organization?
Okay, my website is angermanagementeducation.com. It's a mouthful. Again, okay. angermanagementeducation.com. And my books are available online, Amazon, other websites, and as well as bookstores.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, Dr. Golden, we thank you so much for helping us all to have a better understanding of severe anger and how to recognize the level of our own anger and where to get help if we have a problem or know someone that has a problem with severe anger. On behalf of the CWR Talk Network, thank you so much for appearing tonight on Donnell Edwards Viewpoints. And
thank you
like
so much for having me.
Okay. And we'd like to remind you, our listening audience, in case you hadn't heard, we are now on iTunes, Apple Podcast, and you can enjoy Donnell Edwards Viewpoints and all of your other favorite CWR Talk Network programs wherever you are with iTunes. Just go to our website at CWRTalkNetwork.com and click on the iTunes logo and subscribe to the CWR Talk Network. While you're there, give us your rating. Write a review. Now, there's no reason for you to ever miss our programs. Subscribe today and enjoy the convenience of listening without being shackled to your computer. It's as easy as going to our website at CWRTalkNetwork.com, clicking on the iTunes logo, and subscribing. We know you're going to love it. We would like to thank each of you, our listeners, NCWR Nation, for joining us for tonight's broadcast. Please join my friend and fellow host on the CWR Network tomorrow night, Mr. Lionel Shipman, from 7:30 Central and 8:30 Eastern, for his program, The Lionel Shipman Show, Shape Your Finances Show. And his special guest will be college scholarship search strategist, Miss Ashley Hill. And they will be discussing how to find college scholarships. And Thursday night, our domestic violence program, Breaking Our Silence, with host Lupe Moreno, will be discussing the very important subject of teen dating abuse. So join Lupe at 6 p.m. on the West Coast, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern, I'm sorry, at blogtalk.com/CWR Talk Radio. That's blogtalk.com/CWR Talk Radio. And don't forget, we're also available now on iTunes and on Stitcher. That's it for tonight's program. Join us next Monday at 6:30 p.m. Central for a Black History Month special in our continuing series on race in America. We will be discussing seeking unity through constructive dialogue with our special guest, author, podcaster, blogger, and international speaker, Miss Mara Sweeney, who has been featured on hundreds of radio shows and podcasts, as well as NBC, BBC, and European TV. So until then, be careful, be safe, and have a great week. And as we promised, we conclude with our program tonight with our song from one of the giants in the music industry, who was one of the first social commentary artists, the late Marvin Gaye. Listen now as Marvin sings appropriately, Anger.
It ain't just me. Anger can make you old. Yes, it can. I said anger will make you sit your. Anger destroy your soul. Rage
There's no room for rage in here. When it's the place to go to be mad, it's a sin to treat your body bad.
This is the CWR Network, #1 million strong.